Rural Queensland Today. Good morning, Queensland. Senator Susan MacDonald from Canberra joins us this morning as the Parliament is into its second last week of sitting for the year. Senator, good morning and thanks so much for being with us.
It is always terrific to talk to you, Ben, and give you an update on what's happening from the nation's capital.
Lots going on, isn't there, at the moment? Obviously, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of attacks. I mean, the Labor government want no responsibility of the way the economy's heading or any of the environmental legislation. All they want to do is shift the blame on what they're trying to their spin is that they're fixing up everything that was happening under the coalition, the former coalition.
Yeah, it actually is a masterclass in how to just create a new reality. So despite the fact that we finished COVID with one of the strongest economic positions in the world, one of only nine nations to still have a AAA credit rating with lowest unemployment, you know, for all the reasons that we know, but now Labor is rewriting that history. And the commodity boom, the additional $50 billion that they got, despite talking about the budget as the big thing they want to rectify, they've spent all of that money. And last night, Ben, we passed some more legislation where on electric vehicles. So this is removing the FBT on electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. Now, you know, this is going to cost billions of dollars through the Ford estimates, and I'm not sure that the people who are buying electric vehicles need that sort of subsidy when there's people right across Australia who are doing really tough at the moment, you know, who are struggling to pay electricity bills and rising food prices and rising interest rates. That this is the best thing that we can be doing is to bake in subsidies for electric vehicles, and these are vehicles that aren't paying road taxes. They're not paying diesel fuel excise or petrol taxes. So, you know, I'm a little bit confused about what the government's agenda is. They keep talking about the budget, but they're not doing anything to make any difference.
Can I ask you this, Susan? You just talked about, and you're right, a couple of things about the legislation passed. That makes them all feel warm and fuzzy. But there's no actual power stations for people to charge up their cars. The infrastructure around it, we know, you know, is a long way from being in any way sort of long-term sustainably. So you've got that issue with that. You just touched also on the interest rates. Talking to some banks over the next couple of days, if the interest rates continue to go next year, we are going to see people defaulting on home loans. People are already pulling in the belt buckles for Christmas now. There is fuel is at an all-time high. Energy, every single thing is going up, and yet there is no acknowledgement whatsoever from the government. Like, we are in catastrophic times, and I don't want to be scaremongering because we're a bit blinded by it because of the record prices that we've had in the agricultural sector. But the pain in our regions and the pain in the cities is going to be absolutely unheralded if something doesn't change quickly.
Well, you're right, and that's why it's really important that we be setting up Australia for the high commodity prices, the well-paid jobs, low unemployment, for those things to continue. And, you know, we're seeing a combination of things happening. The incoming Labor government really cut savagely into the critical minerals hubs and exploration projects. They cut money to gas exploration and project development. And now we're seeing the introduction of the industrial relations legislation, which every business person I speak to is telling me that they are already having to pay higher wages, higher salaries because of the massive workforce shortage. So the combination of the actions that Labor's taking versus the rhetoric of what they're saying aren't adding up. And I guess, you know, they're a new government. They've got their trainer wheels on still, but I'm concerned that if we don't continue to invest in our small explorers, into the critical minerals investors, and particularly gas, which is going to be the only firming power solution that we have while we think about nuclear or any other technology, the absence of that means that Labor is not coming up with a plan that will secure us into the next, you know, the next generation. And it's a big worry, Ben.
It certainly is. There's no two ways about that. Are you concerned about where, and this is happening here in Queensland, and it's clearly, we've seen it. We've got the mining sector, the resources lunch was here. The Premier decided not to front up. She carried on about a $40 million advertising campaign, making it about poor me, poor me. No one at any stage questioned her on the absolute ridiculous amount of money she spent on WellCamp that sits there in mothballs, $200 million to be exact. Yet she will not concede and is attacking the mining industry. And as it was said, the Japanese mining industry is built on trust and respect, and she's showing none of that. And this is all because of a royalties grab. And we've got 450,000 jobs at stake, plus the flow-on effect of people around that industry.
Well, we had a really great report come out last week. Queensland Resources Council put it out. Each year for the last 8 years, they report on the amount of money that mining companies use to procure within Queensland and within Australia. So last year, $27.3 billion was spent on capital investments and wages and, you know, all the things that you need to buy to make a mine or an exploration camp work. Of that, 82% was spent in Queensland on Queensland businesses, and the rest was spent primarily, you know, somewhere else in Australia. There was only a very small amount that was had to be bought from overseas. So when we think about mining, you know, Labor likes to think about, oh, you can keep taxing the golden goose. But what happens is that these big investment dollars, billions of dollars that come in, they're spent in regional Queensland and Queensland towns, in addition to the billions of dollars of taxes they pay in company taxes and royalties and the wages, the POYG wages, because, you know, mining jobs are the best paid in the country, double the average Australian wage. These are all the things that it's not just whether or not we're taxing them now. It's whether or not we're saying we've got a regime, a regulatory regime that says keep investing here. And at the moment, we're doing our darndest to say, please don't invest here. We're going to take 15 years to approve a project. We're going to reverse approvals on projects, so the EPBC project approvals that Plibersek has just pulled in. We're going to provide more uncertainty in what you've got to do, who you've got to consult with, like the Tiwi Islands decision the other day. That's another 44 projects that are have had to go back on the burner. When these things happen and they don't keep coming, the investment doesn't keep coming online, they are Queenslanders and Australians' jobs and the businesses not getting the investment that we're, you know, that we need. So when the Premier decides to act like a princess and not turn up to important industry events and to be thin-skinned about the industry saying, hey, you can't put a 40% tax on us and not have picked up the phone to anybody before you did so.
And that's then, rightly, you know, so. They are right within their right in their wheelhouse to be upset about that. Every other industry would cry absolutely blue murder over it.
Yep. It's not a professional, organised way to run a government. But the result is that we all lose out. Queenslanders lose out. You see towns that are absolutely booming, whether it be from Brisbane to Barcaldine, and it's on the basis of massive investment in this state, in this country, people getting well-paid jobs. And it is so important as we face rising costs of living, rising interest rates, that we continue to invest in ourselves in Queensland. And between the state Labor government and the federal Labor government, I'm really concerned. They say the right things, but then the things they do is discouraging investment. It's serious, Ben. And, you know, I know people say, oh, well, politics, that's, you know, we don't want to talk about it, that's up to politicians. But it's not, because if it means that my kids, your kids, people who are listening, kids, if they are not going to have the same opportunities that we have had because government has failed to send the right messages to industry and to the investors in projects and into the small mining exploration companies, then we've failed. We've failed because we've not held the government to account. So that's, you know, that's the job for today, is to continue pointing out legislation like the electric vehicles FBT subsidy. That is not growing more jobs. That is buying goods from offshore, Australian dollars going offshore instead of being spent on food and electricity bills and things that we need to make Australians' lives better.
Senator Susan McDonald joins us this morning. We'll take a break, come back. This is Rural Queensland Today.